have on the telephone both Manny Frangidakis and Stamati Sastra for a market update. Gentlemen, good morning. Kalimera sas.
Kalimera.
Kalimera. Kalimera. Manny, you know, we don't need... all we need to do is listen to you and go to bed, because what you said last week, it happened. You said it was going to trade sideways, and after the news from the Federal Reserve, and it went down for a couple of days, and then Monday was back up, and here we are, I guess.
Here we are.
You know, you got to tell us what brand is your crystal ball.
Yeah. Well, I left it in the car, so I'll go back and check it in the parking lot, and I'll call back and let you know so people can buy the same one. No, I think that the theory is still remains true, that we hit a lull when we exited that May period with reopening being front and center, and pretty much we said you could almost check out of the markets, go away for the summer, but make sure you check back in end of August, beginning of September, because I think, again, as we look towards the latter end of the year, that's when things get kind of hairy. What one interesting thing that I actually wasn't even aware of that I did some research on yesterday, if you look at the FANG stocks, all our tech-heavy growth that has led the rally over the last, call it 10 years, has traded completely sideways since Election Day. So there hasn't been any market appreciation of sorts besides these speculative gags that have, you know, flopped both up and down over the last coming months. It's just kind of a narrative. But in terms of absolute appreciation, we are exactly where we have been since January.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And you see some of the specifics, I think, Netflix is down, if I'm not mistaken. It kind of makes sense, people going back to work, not spending so much time in front of the TV. Amazon is struggling, you know, obviously had a huge earnings last year based on the pandemic. We'll see what happens this year. Makes sense. And then, you know, you have all the famous cyclicals that they're just, you know, waiting.
Yeah, I'll throw one more. I mean, Google's getting hit decently today due to antitrust being brought forward by the EU again.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't forget that this bipartisan effort to curb down on the big companies, it looks like it has some momentum. It looks like the lawmakers have decided to make a very methodical case against those companies in a series of legislations, and they're not huge legislations that they will fail, but very, you know, targeted legislations, and that's another concern.
Yeah, and that's not going to go away. Now, look, they haven't really been able to come forward with the iron hammer in terms of antitrust and regulation, but that is your biggest concern there if you're an investor in the tech and in the FANG space. And who knows? I mean, if they start to lose their allure, you know, is that when they start to go after them? That's one of the concerns that I have, is that you're not going to go and try to kill your most profitable sheep right now. But essentially, yeah. if they become, you know, back of the herd and market decliners, then maybe you see more action at that point in time.
Yeah. Another topic I want to touch, Manny, was the revenge of the working poor. People that they used to make from $10 to $14 an hour, and happen to, you know, work 40, 50 hours a week, difficult to make ends meet. All of a sudden, that's the segment of the labor force that is getting the rewards, is getting more money. They are in short. The shortage there. There's huge demand from all the big companies, and the small companies cannot compete anymore. And you see those wages rising up. It's one of those things. It's good news for that segment of the population if they can continue getting higher wages. And it's, you know, bad news for small to middle-sized companies.
Yeah, so I think that you can't get anyone in the door regardless under $25 an hour right now. Which is a remarkable statistic, but to your point, it's the first time in many, many years that you're actually starting to see wage inflation, and something that the Fed had been looking for quite some time in terms of average hourly earnings. But I think it's just all, I think labor is going to be the trickiest situation in the global economy for the next 2 to 3 years. I think that there's going to be a shortage of labor, and I also think that there's not going to be a precursor for it. I think down the road, all this does is expedite automation. But what we know to be true right now is if you, let's say, wanted to order a robot, let's say you're a McDonald's and you want to automate your entire store, well, it's not like they can get it to you in 6 months. You're looking at a 3 to 4 year waiting period for that robot. So labor is actually one of the fickle points right now as we judge what's going to happen with the global economy, because it's not just problems here, but across the world that we're having labor shortages now. And as we continue to have different variants pop up, it could suppress the situation even further.
Yeah. We did see also a little bit the dollar going up a little bit, not too much, but people expect that it's going to stabilize to that.
I don't share that belief. I think that was taper. That was taper talk from last week, and potentially of moving of the dot plots in 2023.
Exactly.
I think he's gonna walk that back today. So for those that are unaware, Chair Powell will be testifying today at 2 o'clock in regards to pandemic measures brought forward by the central bank. So you will hear him talk about it, and he already has printed remarks out there that he is going to continue with the belief of inflation being transitory. But as we've touched upon in the past, transitory, the definition is not lasting forever. So in any sense, everything is transitory, including life. So what does transitory mean, and how long do they expect it to last? In my opinion, inflation has been unanchored, and it's going to be here for quite some time. Inflation is so much more of a psychological event than a physical event. So I think that once that cat is out of the bag, it's very hard to put back in. And I think that the Fed has very minimal tools to be able to put it back into the bag. So I think that it is going to be a problem that we'll deal with for at least the next 2 to 3 years. But again, what did the dollar do? The dollar reacted just on the fact that potentially we might have rate hikes sooner than we thought. But at the same time, we're still continuing with $100 billion of bond purchases a month. We're talking about adding over $1 trillion a year to the balance sheet continuously. That is probably not going to go away across any administration. So in my opinion, the dollar is in a long downtrend down. And that's probably across most fiat currencies. The direction is negative, but I think the dollar is the ultimate loser because it benefits everybody. It's the one side of the boat that everyone can live with, that it works for emerging markets. It works for the U.S. because then we can maintain our debt level. It works for commodity prices, and it works for expansion. So I think that the dollar direction is down for quite some time. Probably the best trade out there right now is to go long the renminbi, the RMB, and go short the dollar.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Manny, just one
final question. Manny, if you had to say, with all this activity going on this past week, would you, if I asked you what would have been the sector of the week, what would your answer might be?
Definitely not crypto.
that's for sure.
No, well, it's energy.
Energy.
It's been energy since the beginning of the year, and it's going to continue to be energy. I mean, we were banging on the table 6, 7, 8 months ago, and even back in last March when Exxon and some of these companies absolutely tanked as a great opportunity, and obviously when oil went negative. Uh-huh. And what we're realizing now is that you can't, one, we gave the House of Saudi back the control over the price. That was a mistake that the previous administration did. And shockingly, you bring in government intervention, and 3 years later, you have supply shortages. I mean, it's the same thing that we're looking in semiconductors. So it's just marginal that you limit the ability of the of private companies and of the private sector, and as soon as government gets involved, we have supply shortages. And these shortages are going to last for quite some time. So I don't think the theory of $100 barrel of oil is out of the question. I mean, we did tick up to 75 today, and the only reason why we traded lower was the fact that Russia came out, and they're projecting that they're going to propose to OPEC that they add an additional 3 million barrels per day to supply come their July 1st meeting. So I think that the winning sector is energy, and I think the winning sector for the remainder of the year probably remains to be energy.
Very good. Always so well informed. Always so well informed. Our market update with Manny Frangidakis at 11 a.m. on Tuesdays with Stamati Sastra. Gentlemen, any closing comments for our listening audience this morning?
Pay attention to what's said today at 2 o'clock, and we don't expect any, you know, major surprises. We continue to believe that, you know, we're going to go into this period of lull in the summer. Watching Europe is going to be extremely important. Watching India is going to be extremely important. Watching what comes out of China is going to be extremely important. And I think that you can still find good opportunities out there. We're putting on a position today. It's somewhat crypto-related, but it's definitely not a token or a coin. So there are opportunities out there, and I think that you want to continue to make sure of what, understand of what you have in your portfolio and not what you're looking to potentially grab as a home run hitter. I think right now you need to be maintaining what is the structure of my portfolio, where is my downside risk, am I prepared for an inflationary environment, or am I continuing to be invested in the deflationary environment that worked for the last 10 years? It's our opinion that what worked over the last 10 to 12 years is probably not going to work going forward for the next decades. I think people need to be mindful of that and pay attention of what's changing in the world, because it's changing rapidly right now.
Well said. Well said. 12 okay. points, wealth management, Manny Frangidakis. And once again, to our listening audience, Manny's phone number is 617-212-8343. Feel free to give him a call. Any questions, he'd be more than happy to sit down with you, discuss your options. 617-212-8343, Manny Frangidakis, 12 points, wealth management. Manny Stamati, it was also great to see you both face-to-face the other day, and I look forward to getting together again soon. Nastikala. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll continue with more music right here on Grecian Echoes.